AdPog Podcast, a weekly show where two to three old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and when I was little, I used to get in fights with my dad because he would want me to go outside and play and be healthy, and I just wanted to sit inside, get fat in the air conditioning, and play video games.
Like a normal, red-blooded teenage boy.
Like an American.
Right.
So when Mega Man X came out, I was so addicted to Mega Man X. And I rented it, and I wanted to play it, but he wanted me to go outside and pick up sticks. That was this thing he liked to have me do, and I would scream and cry about having to do it, pick up sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So the compromise was, while I played Mega Man X, I ran in place in front of the TV.
All right.
So during one rental weekend, I played Mega Man X, ran in place for 5 hours until I just straight up collapsed. I'd beaten all eight, had gotten was two levels away from Sigma, and just collapsed from exhaustion.
I want to know more about these sticks. Were they in your yard?
Oh, yeah. Because he would go clear out trees, and he didn't want to run over sticks when he was mowing, so he'd make my brother and I go pick up sticks in the yard for hours on end, and we hated it.
So now at night you drive up to his place and
just throw sticks out in it. Fuck you, old man!
And I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I'm trying to keep it relevant. So this is a bad one, but it's relevant. I once won a contest to see an early screening of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and it was a really weird experience because I was in a theater full of like-minded Star Wars fans just waiting for our minds to be blown. We were all really excited about the new movie, and about 20 minutes in, the denial and disappointment was just palpable. Like, it was just dripping off the walls.
And I'm your rookie host, Father Wiley, but it's actually pronounced Father Wilo because there's an umlaut.
That's throwback.
Good. That's good.
And my dad found out by mistake one time exactly how lawful I am. We were on our way to a friend's house, and he joked out of the rear window of the truck back in the 80s when kids used to ride in the back of pickup trucks that he was going to drive
still by. Still happens in Kentucky.
Drive by my friend's house, and I should just hop out. And he did, and I did. I learned two things that day. One, don't always trust my dad. And two, you have to jump off a truck all at once, because if you step down like you normally do, it's sort of knees, hands, face.
Tuck and roll?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. I was in middle school, so it was my first time jumping out of a moving vehicle.
And we can try it after the show. Right. See what you've learned.
Go all at once, feet and hands at once. If you step down, road rash.
You did a flop and skin.
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
Yeah, I get up and I was so embarrassed because it was ugly. I get up and I'm like, oh, I'm all right. And my dad says, no, son, you're bleeding from the forehead. You are not all right. And that's where I started crying. So
you drove all the way up for Jacksonville just to record with us, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I did. I'm spending my vacation here doing podcasts with you guys. So thanks a lot for inviting me and having me on the show. And yeah.
Wait to say that to the end of the show, because you might actually have an awful time.
Right. Yep. 10.5 hours. We stopped through Atlanta halfway in the Dragon Con Hilton, we called it, and spent
doing some prep work.
Yes.
Some scouting.
That's right.
As you know, I'm sure, what we normally do on this show is play our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games and muse about our experiences right here on this show. This week, we're talking about IGN's 83rd ranked Super Nintendo game, Super Star Wars. No groans yet. I'm kind of surprised.
just wait. Just wait,
Dave. Before we get into that, do you want to do what we've been playing?
Yeah. I've been on a binge of Borderlands 2 solo, but new to this week, with Wiley in town, we played a lot of You Don't Know Jack Steam.
We did indeed. I've never played You Don't Know Jack before.
Which version is on Steam? Is it just Steam has its own version? Or?
I think Steam has... It's different from any other... I've been playing them for years. This one's different than any one I've played before.
So it's different. So you're not running across questions and stuff that you've already heard?
No, it's episodic.
Okay.
Each one. I assume if you replay, you can replay each episode to get your master level to unlock more, because there are tons of unlockable levels or episodes. So we had a good time playing it.
Yeah, I was surprised at how well produced they are. It really does feel like a game show. And then the chicken, of course, introducing the wrong answer of the week.
Yeah, that was a new element.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
There's one, they'll give you like an overall theme, like their sponsor is something ridiculous, and there'll be a wrong answer relating to that sponsor. If you pick the wrong answer, it's better than picking the right answer for that one question.
I see.
What hidden amongst the 10 questions. So you get bonus cash and it's an unlockable.
That's pretty cool.
So but as good as good time. I highly recommend if it's not, well, if you get it on sale,
which
you don't
I'm
know
sure
Jack
you
is
did.
A good time. Yeah.
So you probably bought it a while ago.
Yeah, I sat on it for a long time.
Okay. I'll add it to my wish list and so I'll get a notification when it goes on sale.
Yeah, because I think normally it's like $20, but I think on Amazon it was on sale for like $5 one day.
Nice.
With the redeemable Steam code, so that's what I did. It's well worth that price. It's probably worth $20.
Yeah, it's big. There are a lot of episodes. Mm-hmm. We went through 4 or 5 night before last, I guess it was, and I was surprised at how big the game was.
I think there are like 73 episodes or something like that. So.
Wow.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, and an achievement for playing all of them and an achievement for playing half of them.
Yep.
Yeah, I was impressed.
So you've been playing, Wiley, you've been playing You Don't Know Jack with Tyler?
I did, and also after the Cave Story special episode, I decided to pick up Cave Story. It helped that it was free. Yeah, you did. But that was a pleasant surprise. I heard about it on the show, and I thought, oh, well, I'll check that out, and realized it was a throwback game, and I dug in my closet and found an old gamepad that I had from when I was playing games back on my PC a long time ago, dug that out of the closet, and so I've been playing Cave Story and getting frustrated with it.
Yeah, Wiley is normally a very patient individual. I've never seen him really get too mad, ever. But Cave Story does something. I've seen him rage quit, the rare Wiley rage quit.
Just dancing on the rage button all week long.
We may be kindred spirits when it comes to gaming.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm usually pretty patient, too. I made it through Cave Story, though, without blowing a blood vessel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I save, and then you get to a boss or you get to something that's really frustrating, and then it's just sort of learning the strat, and then... but it takes a while, and you die, and you die, and you die, and you die. The one I'm on right now, the boss, there's like a 5-minute gap where you got to fight through guys to get to the boss from the save point.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you die, it's the same 5-minute slog just through the minions.
Go through the gauntlet again?
Yeah, right back to the boss.
Wiley saying that you hovered over the rage button immediately just made me think of the Adult Swim Birdman, get Birdman coffee. And the hawk is right above the destroy world button. Just, the coffee, destroy world.
Right next to one another.
So that's something for the show notes because it's very good.
All right, I'll dig it up. I'm actually glad you brought up Cave Story because Nicole Nance, one of our great listeners, mentioned something to me the other day. As we went the entire Cave Story episode without once mentioning what we were playing it on.
Oh.
We were playing it on
that's
the PC.
Oh. Yeah.
On the personal computer.
Right.
So there you go, Nicole. Thanks for pointing that out.
We were playing it on Windows 95 Compact Presarios.
Right.
The
special
Apple,
order from 1996.
The Apple Vegematic.
Yeah. Well, mine's on my late 2008 MacBook that won't run Mountain Lion, so... Sad old hardware.
Yeah.
But it'll do Cave Story.
It'll do Cave Story. That's the great thing about throwback games.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're cheap like me, old computer, free game, done.
Yeah, so far, both our special episodes have been about free games. So
yeah. I like that theme. Maybe we can keep it going as long as we can, which won't be very much longer. Unless we do Spelunky. Spelunky's fun.
Yeah.
And free.
What have you been playing this week?
Me?
You, David.
Well, I'm going to... pull the curtain back a little bit for our listeners. We actually recorded the Super Tennis episode like 3 days ago.
Yep.
So I haven't had a lot.
You like seeing how the sausage is made?
I haven't had a whole lot of time to play, but I did get through the prologue of Final Fantasy Dimensions for the second time.
Okay.
So I got that, and then tonight I finished Guacamelee, finally. So
it was impressive. It was impressive watching you beat that.
Yes,
it's a fun game.
I love watching you beat it, Dave.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're not the only one. Are you okay with that?
I'll give you a good Yelp review.
So you ready to get into it? Super Star Wars?
Okay. All right. Before we get into it.
Okay.
I don't know what a lot of people listen. People listen to this in their car, is what I imagine. But if you're listening to like at work, like out loud on the speakers, we're going to get...
You're foolish. No,
probably not. Surely not. But I want to give this episode a double, like NSFW tag.
Okay.
A double not safe for work.
Okay.
Because I'm going to fucking yell and fucking curse about this fucking game all fucking episode. All
right.
Just like it was in his living room. All
right. Kind of reminded me when I saw Phantom Menace.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Rarely is something Star Wars.
That was the first Star Wars I'd ever seen, and I was disappointed by that movie, so...
Rarely is something with Star Wars related so disappointing.
I don't know. I was disappointed by Empire, too, but I don't know. I think this...
The game.
The game.
I thought you were about to blow my mind. You have watched the movies since we last recorded?
I've seen interviews. George Lucas thinks that's the worst one, Dave. That Empire's the worst movie. I mean, he made them. How can he be wrong?
I don't know. I mean, it's one man's opinion.
Metachlorians. Okay. Metachlorians.
He was also, you may know this, he was a big proponent of when they were doing colorization of black and white films. George Lucas hated that idea. He thought the original films should stay the way they were. Fast forward, where he wants to change it every inch of his movies. That's just an observation I'm throwing out there.
Oh, the irony.
So he may have been high when he was talking about Empire being the worst, because it's clearly the best. Are you ready for a little segment before you get into your full swearing session, Tyler? A little segment.
Fuck yeah.
I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Wiley, are you ready?
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Super Star Wars. It's a Super NES game that was developed by Sculptured Software. You remember them from the Empire Strikes Back game. And LucasArts. And it was published by JVC Nintendo.
Kaboombox.
In 1992. Yeah. What was that? That was the prize at the end of...
A lot of 90s Nickelodeon game shows.
JVC Boombox.
JVC Kaboombox. Moon Shoes. And Quick Chocolate Milk Powder.
Yes, I remember Moon Shoes.
Doubt they said chocolate milk powder, but you know what I'm talking about. Chocolate milk powder.
This episode brought to you by Chocolate Milk Powder. This game is based, you may not know this, this is kind of a big deal. It's based on a film that you may have seen called Star Wars. Specifically episode 4.
May have seen, not everyone.
Not
but
everyone.
You may have.
May have. The game is prominently run and gun, but there are some stages, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at length, where you hop into some vehicles, specifically a land speeder and an X-Wing. It also features multiple characters.
Three characters.
That's it. That's all I've got for my segment. So
okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and leave and get some dinner. I'll come back. You guys will be done.
Sure.
All
right.
Towel pog?
Wet pog.
Wet pog.
That sounds like something you flush.
Right.
So you haven't watched Star Wars since we recorded the last Super Star Wars Empire Strikes Back episode.
I have not.
But being the Muppet Babies aficionado that you are, I'm sure that you are familiar with the basic premise of A New Hope because of the Muppet Babies episode where they parodied it.
Amongst other sources, but yeah.
So I'm sure it's permeated deep in your skull enough that you're well equipped to talk about the game.
We did have quite a discussion about the difference between a sand person and a Jawa.
Yeah, because I thought, it's clearly playing this game, the Jawas must be the big evil in the Star Wars universe, because they're coming at you just with the hate. Jawas want to kill Luke. They're rabid about it.
Yeah. Guns blazing.
And based on their militarized sand crawler.
They have all this great technology. They have these razor scooters that look like eggs. They can go on sand.
Lava. They've got lava in the sand crawler.
Yeah, where that came from. Who knows?
Their own blarg. They've got him in there.
Because I don't think I've ever just been more frustrated and filled with rage and hate for just like the first 3 hours of this game. I don't know. It was just like this vileness it instilled this seed of evil in me that just only grew for the 3 hours that I was just cursing this fucking piece of shit game.
Good. Let the hate flow.
That's right. Embrace your hate.
Because playing this game makes me not want to ever see Star Wars. Because it's like, surely, like, if people make the game, they want to give you, like, more to go on. You know, these movies are instilling this, inspiring these games. But the programmers either didn't like the movies and want you to fucking hate everything about Star Wars, or they just don't like... These programmers are really... They were hipsters back in 1992?
Yeah, it came out in 92.
Yeah, these were like the early day hipsters that just... They didn't want you to enjoy their game. An enjoyable game?
They were hipsters before being a hipster
before
was
cool. Before it was cool. Yeah. They were the true hipsters.
These proto-hipsters.
LucasArts programmers. They only want you to like their point-and-click adventure games. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to like... They don't want to do anything else but point-and-click adventures. They're going to make you just hate Star Wars. We want you to play Grim Fandango, so why don't you just hate Star Wars? Because we're not gonna make this fun for you at all. Fuck you, consumer.
Well, legitimate alternative. Although it was a little longer, I think, until Grim Fandango came out, but easily the best game ever.
Period.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the few games that I've actually played multiple times to beat, and I don't beat a lot of games because I usually just get frustrated with them.
And you were talking about specifically Super Star Wars.
Yes.
Getting frustrated.
Oh man, I made it to stage 3 or stage 4. I forget. In blind anger, I don't remember which particular stage it was, but it was the inside of the sand crawler where. One of the things that frustrate me most about 90s games, I think, I don't know if it was trying to artificially extend the length of the game or trying to make you feel like a real gamer, but they had this affinity for the jumping puzzle. Moving platforms that you had to jump, and in this particular case, Tyler and I were talking about this, it's platforms that you can't see.
Right.
So you have to miss it the first time just to find out where it is.
I know what level you're talking about. My note for that is that's this game's train level. I always bring up the train level from Tiny Toons.
Yep.
The good games don't have them. The bad games usually have a train level. The inside of the Sandcrawler was the train level for this game. Because I remember it's not so bad for probably, I don't know, 2/3 of that level. And then you get to this point where there's this blind drop.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a platform, there's a blind drop. It, just like you said, there's no way of knowing there's lava down there.
Yeah, and you drop all the way down and realize, oh yeah, well, I guess I'm going to die. And every time you die, it completely resets your blaster power-ups.
Right.
Which is essential, because the lightsaber is garbage.
Yeah.
All the first 3 incarnations of the blaster are garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Only the most powerful plasma version of it is worth anything at all.
Yeah, and the moment you die, you start over with your blasters. Even if you're not using a continue or anything like that, one death, blaster reset.
Right.
Infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and so the platform stays there a second, and then it drops out from under you, and like, okay, I'm going to ride this thing down like you would normally expect until it just continues to drop all the way through the lava.
And, oh, and it falls like that,
yeah,
too.
And you're dead.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, what the fuck?
Well, so it's not just even that level. There are these floating rock levels where it does the same thing again a few times where you can't see the platforms. You have to die to know where it is and then just hope. Like, that is just, God, that pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? As you're typing the code, what is like evil impulse is like, yeah, you know what? They can't, I won't let them see that. Yeah, that's good. And then I have to start all over again, like from the beginning with no blaster. Yeah, yeah, this is challenging. This is good program right here. Pat myself on the back, LucasArts programmer. Man, fuck you, LucasArts programmer.
Well, to be fair, I think you should direct your anger at the game designer.
Fuck you, game designer.
the programmer probably just got it and was like, well, that's fucked up.
All right, this is my job.
Big Daddy Lucas does sign the checks, so...
Well, there was.
Are you sure you want the Bantha to explode in a burst of fire? Yeah, that's intentional.
All right, and the rock pedestals look exactly the same. Half of them will fissure and disappear. The other half stay right there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go anywhere. But there's no pattern to it. So if it fissures, you got about a half a second before you die and lose your blaster.
I'm glad that we've kind of brought up game mechanics, because I feel like before we get too far into the seething anger that we all have for this game. I'd like to go over the game mechanics just a little bit so that the people listening don't have to play this game.
Right. Yes. Mm. That's a great favor to do.
The gameplay mechanics are pretty Spartan. It's like I said in the beginning, it's pretty much a run and gun.
Mm-hmm.
But they do change things up a little bit. For most of the game, you're Luke. You're playing as Luke. You're running, you're jumping, you're shooting. and you're falling. Yep. You fall a lot.
And there's this, but there's this slide too. Luke can slide.
Right.
And there's like,
that's two janky, two, incredibly janky trying to slide.
Yeah. And 2 points in the game where it's important. And the rest of the game doesn't matter.
Yep.
And it's important in, inside the sandcrawler, right?
With
is that how you got
walls.
Through the laser
doors? The laser doors. Yeah. And you have to time it just perfectly. Otherwise, you'll slide into it, and get thrown back, and lose a lot of health.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, but it kind of rubber bands you back and forth to where it's like, oh, dead. Okay, yeah. Start over. No blasters. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing is that one of the mechanics of this game that kind of makes it feel Spartan is that there aren't many power-ups. Mm-hmm. You have blaster power-ups, which modify your weapon, mm-hmm. and there are health swords
yeah. mm-hmm.
that extend your total hit points.
And those are random, completely random. As I went through levels yeah. not getting into it and having a rough time on certain bosses because some levels, I get tons of them, destroy a boss. Some, none. And the boss was very, very difficult
yeah.
because of that.
Well, and part of my rage was watching a couple of playthrough videos online to see if I could get some tips about how to get blaster upgrades because I keep losing my blasters.
Right.
And there seem to be certain geographic points in the game where if you just stand there and kill enemy after enemy after enemy after enemy in one place, a blaster upgrade appears.
You're farming that drop.
Yeah, precisely, but no indication.
To only lose 30 seconds.
Moments later.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stormtroopers just drop from the sky mm-hmm. on various levels. They just Jango Fetch just dropping out from everywhere.
Well, specifically in the Death Star hangar.
Yeah.
Where they will fall. My favorite is they're just falling from the sky, exactly like you said. But for some reason, the contractors on the Death Star installed bottomless pits.
Yeah.
With no railings. They say, fuck OSHA.
That's right. No OSHA here.
Emperor says we got to get Death Star done.
Rush project.
Death Star's got to be done.
Rush project.
So I love it when, like you said, these stormtroopers are raining from the sky, and they'll just, sometimes they'll just fall right into the pit.
Thanks. Don't have to shoot that one.
Right. Later on in the game, you actually get to play as Han or Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
So
I never did, though, because I didn't want to risk losing my blaster. Because I figured if I start a new character, I'm going to lose my blaster power-up. So Luke it is.
Yeah, you held on to your blaster power-up. See, because I played very disposable. Because it was like, well, I'm going to die. So you don't. You may not know. Did you try Han or Chewie at all?
No.
Either of you?
Nope.
They start out with improved blasters. It's only the second power up, so it's the heavy blaster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I guess it's to compensate for them not having a lightsaber, which, like you said, the lightsaber deals a lot of damage. But the problem is you have to be right up on something to hit it. Everything wants to kill you in this game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only time I ran across something in the game that didn't want to kill you, it was Obi-Wan. And I blasted the shit out of him when I saw him on the screen because I thought he was an enemy.
You just don't stop pressing that blaster button for yeah. nobody, no way.
Nope.
Well, and that part of my first playthrough through the first level, it took me a while to realize, but I remembered you guys mentioning on a prior show that you can just hold the button down. And I found out about blasters. Oh, I can hold the button down.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, I learned from my previous mistake and picked up on that pretty quick. Yeah. I can't remember what game it was. I think it was like Super Turrican or something like that, where I had no idea and I was just spamming the button.
Yeah, well, there's one part in the first level where Womp Rats are just pop, 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 mm-hmm. pop, the green guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not shoot fast enough. And I thought, how in the world do you expect to get by this and live? And then I realized, oh, if you hold the button down, you can just stand in one place mm-hmm. and they just jump through the stream.
Infinitely.
Yeah, and that's where I found my first blaster. Because you just hold the button until they stop appearing. And when they stop appearing is when the blaster upgrade appears.
They're just helping you out.
Yeah, you know.
What are some horrible canonical breaking points?
Oh, they are all over the place.
Because you got mad at the first level, like the Sarlacc pit, as soon as you step, like Luke leaves his house and Sarlacc pit with big worm thing.
Not even in episode 4.
Yeah.
You don't get the Sarlacc pit until Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have less issue with that because the Sarlacc is actually in the movie.
Yeah, that's right.
The militarized sandcrawler, really, I think, is when stuff really starts to break down.
And gun-toting Jawas.
Right.
What in the world? Retaining bolts, maybe, but a blaster and, like, little egg-shaped ships that blast big purple photon torpedoes to do some Star Trek, Star Wars crossover Tyler Holland style. Yeah, not a part of the fiction at all.
I didn't realize that in the cantina you fight every alien in Mos Eisley.
Yeah, they're not there just to have drinks. They're there to kill Luke Skywalker. Nobody knows who he is, but everybody wants to kill him.
And then the boss of the cantina. Did you guys? Yes.
Wiley went off about this guy.
I did.
Oh, my gosh.
I did. I was like, he's not even in the movie.
Right.
And then, so I look him up, and this is where I lose, lose my nerd card.
Okay.
Because I didn't realize there is this depth of library. About there is something called
you go to the Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia. Yeah. Did you find this too?
I'm a nerd. I've known about that one for a while.
Dave edits the Wikipedia.
Okay.
I'm a mod.
Yeah. As a moment of Wiley reads from Wikipedia. this thing, he has a name. His name is Kalhar.
Uh-huh.
And he has a species. He is a Mantellian Savrip. And he does appear, that creature does appear in the movie. In fact, in episode 4. But he's the only time he appears in the entire canon of the movies. He's in books and all this kind of stuff. But the only time he appears in the movies is when they're in the Millennium Falcon and Chewie and C-3PO are playing the board game.
Oh, right.
Like a simulated chess game.
Yeah.
There's a name for that, too. It's apparently called Dajrik or Davrik.
Okay.
Something like that. Dajarik, that's it. Also from Wikipedia. So Star Wars fans have invented rules for this. You can buy a Dajarik board. You can get it in miniature so your action figures can look like they're playing Dajarik.
Wow.
It's amazing. I found out there's this
Show
whole
notes.
Yeah, there's this whole culture. I'll send you the link. There's this whole culture around it. But the Mantellian Savrip is the big green guy that slams Chewie's character piece on the game board down. And when C-3PO tells R2, it's actually R2 and Chewie that are playing, C-3PO tells R2 to let the Wookiee win.
Right.
The only time that creature appears in the entirety of the movies. But he's the boss in the cantina.
And this cantina's miles long. Like, yeah. I was impressed by that. This must be huge. Because it's really long.
Did you guys have problems with that boss?
Yes.
That's the only one that took me... It took me a dozen tries.
It took me longer than that. Like, it really, like, that battle was a test of patience. How the hell did you do it?
I was watching Tyler at this point. I had already seated my gaming to the master. I was Padawan in this case.
I jumped and blasted him back until he was far enough off the screen and kept trying to jump and blast him back to try and get over it. It was his neck.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, because he's a giant, furry, four-limbed giraffe, so his neck would come out. That's the only move that I really had trouble with, so I'd have to just jump and blast him back so I could avoid the neck, and enough times and I got lucky.
I got lucky as well. That's how I beat him, but I never could figure out how to push him back, because it seemed like it worked sometimes when I would jump at him while shooting, and then other times he would just shoot his neck out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I remember saying it when Tyler beat the guy, like 12th or 13th try, I was watching him go over and over and over, but it was like a spin jump and shooting at the same time would make him step back, and he finally got him far enough towards the back of the screen where you had room to move. Because otherwise the neck attack just takes up the entire screen.
What I ended up doing is I picked Chewie, and from the point where it starts you off, you get a blaster power up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So since Chewie already starts with a heavy blaster, it would give me a seeker.
Uh-huh.
So I would just go to that corner. I would face away from him, and I would just super jump while firing the seeker.
And let the missile find him?
And let it find him.
Nice.
That finally worked after probably 12 times. I tried probably another 12 times with Luke prior to that.
Yeah, so if anyone has the courage to actually try it, you just did them a huge favor.
Don't do it.
Yeah, everybody is like, I'm a masochist, and this sounds like a good time.
Yeah, the one listener who listened to the Sparkster episode was like, that sounds like a good time. That's the guy that's playing Star Wars.
Super Star Wars. Good luck, sucker.
After that boss, whenever you're escaping from the Luke Golan looking place, that's when it became, you know, filling me with rage, hate, and bile to okay.
Yeah.
From that point on, the game was okay.
Right.
Well, from that point on, it was sort of fight your way into Tatooine to the cantina, then fight your way out of the cantina to the Death Star.
Right.
That was another one of those story jump moments where I thought, what is going on?
So I assume the cantina is just miles. It's the tunnel that leads from whatever planet you're on to the Death Star. It's just really long.
It's like the Technodrome.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you get like the first 15 minutes of the movie and the last 15 minutes of the movie and the end.
A Super Star Wars : The Empire Strikes Back was a much better adaptation, which I know we're not to this point in the show yet, but it really makes me question why this game is ranked better than Empire Strikes Back.
I really don't understand that.
I thought The Empire Strikes Back was not great, but I enjoyed it because I had seen the movie and I felt like they were pretty faithful, except for they also militarized a lot of things in that game. But it at least stays pretty true to the movie as far as like the cutscenes go.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cutscenes for this one were part of the movie, but they just left out about 2/3 of the movie.
Yeah, and they also, I wish they would have taken the time to get the dialogue right.
Yeah.
Because I've seen A New Hope enough times when there's the cutscene where Obi-Wan and Vader are fighting.
Uh-huh.
And the dialogue is wrong.
Yeah.
Because as it was going on the screen, I was quoting the movie from memory, and I was like, no.
What?
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
No, Tyler did.
I'm glad.
And to his credit, too, I was watching him play the latter half of this game because that was after I'd already given up. And to his credit, Tyler was skipping a lot of the cutscenes, I think, to sort of preserve the experience.
I see.
I'd mentioned to him,
the
cutscenes are giving away a lot of the movie. And so he just sort of started flipping through.
I was doing a strict spoiler-free playthrough.
That's right. Well, no danger of spoilers with the militarized Jawas.
Well, yeah, that's all I know is you wake up and you fight a bunch of Jawas and a bunch of sand people because they're best friends. And they have a big tank that has laser doors and lava inside of it. And then you go fight giraffes in a cantina.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through Luke Gallane. Mm-hmm. And you're at this, you're in the Technodrome.
Mm-hmm.
Super Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. You're going to love A New Hope.
Did you guys get through the game the way that I did? Normally, Tyler, you and I will play the game together.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the opportunity to do that this time. Mm-hmm. So
we're on a break.
We have a little, I know. Yeah. No. We needed some space.
We had a fight. We just needed to.
But things are better now.
Yeah. Yeah. We made up.
How did you guys get through the game? Because the reason I ask is because I found a one-up loop, fortunately.
No, we didn't find that.
In the fifth level,
mm-mm.
There's a hidden cave. And by find, I mean I looked up where I could exploit a glitch or anything.
Was this the sand people loop? I think I read about that.
If you fall off a cliff and head to the left, there's seven lives in a cave. And I would just gather all those lives, fall off the cliff and die, and repeat it until I had 99 lives.
Oh,
and
then I was right. Because okay. It would only cost you one.
Right.
I mean, surely I played this certainly straight up and not getting super frustrated to the point where I had to play on some sort of other device and spam save states and things like that. It was a completely genuine muscle through, power through, because I'm straight edge like that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't break down out of sheer hatred. Fuck!
I wish I had that on video. He looked like an episode of Tim and Eric.
It was really entertaining watching him play this game. Much more entertaining than playing the game.
You mentioned save states, and I'm glad that you did, because unlike Empire Strikes Back, the game, this game does not have a password save.
No.
You get three continues.
The end.
And that is it.
Yeah, and there's some sorcery. I was reading on GameFAQ, actually. There's some sorcery you can do on the title screen that's supposed to give you some extra continues or invulnerability, but you got to have two controllers, and there's black magic you have to do with the first controller on the title screen, and then the second controller you have to put it in your mouth or something to get.
Put the second one in someone else's mouth, and we didn't have any virgins on hand, so we couldn't do the invincibility codes or anything like that.
Yes.
Then you go to romantics.
Yes, that's right. That's
right. Got to get a hand from a good bro to help help us do
before
the level skip.
Before you put it in your
mouth.
tap your foot under the stall.
By the way, that reminds me. I know we're not shout outs yet, but thanks, Micah, for the art where you put the phone number on the glory hole.
I've not had been error question phone
number. I've not seen this yet. I'll have to check out facebook.com/tedpod.
That's right.
I'm going to start Death Star bitching.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so, you know, the bottomless pits,
mm-hmm.
and of course there were these things that would fly by just randomly, just to knock off health, just...
Mandatory damage.
Yeah.
There was no way to avoid it.
Nope.
Now, what things were these?
They were TIE fighters.
Oh, okay.
Tyler just couldn't identify them.
Okay.
Those screen doors that would fly by. I don't know. Screen door of the Death Star, that's just poor planning, but all right.
I mean, you gotta have... all right, obviously... I mean, if you don't have space fish build your Death Star, Super Turrican 2 style, because that's really the only contractors you can trust in space are the fish. If you don't use them, there's a ratio.
Which would be Admiral Akbar, I think, in this fiction. Right. Yeah, space catfish.
Exactly.
All right.
If you don't use space fish, there are union rules that you have to have 2 screen doors per bottomless pit.
Okay.
So that's probably...
That explains it.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
But
that's understandable.
No externally facing screen doors. That would lead you to the vacuum of space. But it is the Death Star. It's a rush project. I don't know if you could jump over them, or maybe Dave, you figured this out, but it seemed like the TIE fighters going by were just mandatory damage.
Filled the screen, just hit. I have to wait beside a pit. And then try to jump quick enough so they didn't hit me, knock me into the pit.
I was able to avoid a few by holding up and jump, because that does like a high jump.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, they just hit me. And it's really frustrating when you'll try to time it, but...
Yeah, it's just completely random.
And it hits
random.
You in the middle, like right when you're over the bottomless pit, and it just slams right into you, and it's just, well, you're done.
And the Star Troopers dropping from ceiling vents in front of the TIE fighters.
Yeah, who knows? I like to think that they were jumping out of TIE fighters.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an idea. Well, another break with the fiction. Apparently, you go blasting your way out of Tatooine instead of the epic moment. Obi-Wan, these are not the droids you're looking for. They totally fool the guys into getting off of Tatooine. And then instead, Luke alone goes Nino Brown style out of Tatooine, get to the Death Star, and then... You just shoot the whole place up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the whole sneaking, trying to find Leia in the prison block. There was no... Well, there was the one prison block level.
Yeah.
Which was also stormtroopers just sort of raining out.
Which was also kind of a mishmash of a trash compactor.
Yeah.
If you recall those compactors that would come down from the ceiling.
Yes, that fit the floor shape exactly.
Yeah, you remember these? You had to...
Instant death.
You had to be careful. Yeah, it slightly got in the way dead. And then you had to slide underneath it to get there in time, but if you hit the ramp sliding back, then it'd throw you back and squash you, so it was a frustrating ordeal.
In another research moment, I found out that there was a garbage chute level in this game.
Yes.
You found the same?
Yeah, I read this
that was
as well.
Never released.
Right.
And so they had some footage of it in some of the promo stuff that they did in the original part of the game when it won EGM's Game of the Year for 1992, I think it was.
This won Game of the Year.
Yes, this EGM. Won EGM's Game of the
Year. You're pretty much dismantling my trivia segment.
Oh. No.
Well, EGM, fuck
that's all
you.
Right.
You can cut it.
Nah.
But trash compactor level never got into the game, but I think that the prison block level was sort of a mishmash of the two. It, of course, in the movie, it would have led to the trash compactor level.
Right.
But I guess you just never got there. That would have been another epic jumping puzzle that I probably would have quit.
It must have been fun. So the game designer, did you put a fun level in this game? Get that shit out of here. You're fired.
Cut it.
This is LucasArts non-adventure... You know, clicking games. Like, get that shit out of here.
What do you think this is, Capcom? Larry, get out.
You had one job. Make this game atrocious. Get that level out of here.
All these other people are doing their jobs, Larry.
There you go, making it fun. This is gaming hipsters again.
How dare you have compassion, Larry.
That's right. Gaming is not for fun.
Well, I miss you, Larry. I appreciate you.
Did you read that this is rumor? that a version of this game exists for the PC?
Yes.
That contains the trash compactor level?
Yes. And updated graphics, and I've already been hunting for the download link. Yeah, because...
It was never released. It was canceled at the last minute, but...
Some Dutch developers were working on it. Yeah, that LucasArts killed it. This is 95 when LucasArts killed it. But yeah, it got... I guess one of the developers kept the code and leaked it. I found on the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive, you can find a website that talks about it that has some of the sample art from the 1995 PC game.
Do you have the links for that?
Yes.
I'll put them in the show notes if you send them to me.
Yeah. Because
I'm curious to see them.
And side by side, the PC game looks much better. They upgraded the art. They upgraded, although they said no music. If you're able to download it, no music whatsoever.
That's actually one of the best parts of this game, I think, know. Is the music.
John Williams soundtrack in a video game. When I heard it, I thought, man, the licensing for this game must have been outrageous. And then I realized it was a LucasArts game.
It's an in-house job.
Yeah. That's why they can have a John Williams score in a video game.
And it translated well to the Super Nintendo. A lot better than Green Jello's Carnage Rules, I think.
Green Jello.
Which came out sounding like the Erasers.
Next part of the Death Star, whenever you were having to climb up that tunnel, it was boring and tedious, but at the same time, just like frustrating. Because just this repetitive climbing motion for minutes on end, that just the slightest little thing. And then they're just enemies. That you can shoot straight on with your blaster, but it has no effect. You have to hit them at an angle to kill them, which is ridiculous.
Those are the guys shooting the cannons, right?
The cannon guys and those little beads or little laser projectiles that litter the whole thing.
Interrogation droid from the prison level. Tyler, beads. So,
but getting the top and fighting like the tractor beam, which was just stay underneath it and fire until you beat it.
Right.
And that's how it ends the side-scrolling levels. Like, it just feels like that's the meat of the game just kind of ends on a huge, like, wah, wah.
That's right.
And then it goes into
the trench run.
Space sim, essentially.
God. Which, back on game mechanics for a second, the trench run is an infinite loop. We found out watching Tyler play it. There's the surface attack on the Death Star, and when you complete the surface attack on the Death Star, which is a certain limit of TIE fighters and towers you have to destroy, you get to the trench, which is following the fiction of the movie. Well, if you get through the trench and you don't fire the torpedoes at the end, right back up to the surface level, and you have to run it again.
Why didn't you fire them?
I didn't know you could.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't tell you how to do
it. There's no indication that you're supposed to. I didn't see the movie, so I don't know how they do this.
Well, here's the thing. Even if you'd seen the movie, how the hell? You don't know how to shoot proton torpedoes. Because as I was approaching, I was like, what? I know I'm supposed
fire
to.
Fire button, fire
so
button.
So I'm hitting everything. And
I'm closing my eyes and trying to use the force like Obi-Wan says. That didn't work.
Yep. Which voice?
Your Metachlorian count isn't high enough.
That's true. Yeah. Listeners, you can only play this game if your Metachlorian count is high enough to fire photon torpedoes.
Rubbish.
Which I was talking to
nonsense.
Josh Nance and Nicole Nance about this game. And it's a blaster that you have, but I called it a phaser.
Yeah.
And they both look like I had just like slaughtered innocents in front of them. Like,
they
were appalled. I was like, what?
That you're missing the trivia between Star Trek and Star Wars, Tyler.
Oh, and the moment where she says, and so this part in the last episode when I was yelling at the radio as Tyler was trying to remember LeVar Burton's name, she's like, I started yelling at the radio, and then Tyler's like, I think Nicole Nance is probably having a meltdown right now. She said that was right in the middle of a meltdown. So, called it.
Wow, it's an infinite loop. You have to start over.
Yeah, and you have to run the whole surface again.
The surface?
You run the Death Star surface.
The level restarts.
Again. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was frustrating enough because the graphics are shitty and you're in that
ship
and you're just kind of tower. If you run into a tower, you're dead, and then you can't really hit the TIE fighters. You just kind of fire at them, and sometimes the number goes down.
Because I found out that when I started ignoring the TIE fighters and just shooting the orbs of orange that were coming at me, I took no damage. Yep. So I don't know what... I guess the TIE fighters are just there to
distract you.
Well, and they spin around. Like, when they get loom large in the frame, they just turn around and fly
Go the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the moment. There were several moments when Tyler said, I don't think the people who made this game want you to like Star Wars. And that was one of the moments. That was also one of the moments where Padawan got another chance to play, because Tyler got really frustrated about the infinite loop. And yeah. I was like, dude, do you want me to take a shot at it? See if I can help?
Yes, please.
Yeah, and so he handed me the controller and I got to run the Death Star surface thing, which the space sim was great until we got back down into the trench and I'm in flight sim mode and the controls aren't inverted.
Because Wily's an actual aviator. Yeah, so
I can't control it because pull back on the stick, things don't go up.
Right.
Things go down. Obviously, no one who programmed this game either intentionally making it not fun.
Probably.
Or
Sever Larry.
Larry tried. Larry was like, we should trash credit level and invert the controller. No, Larry, I fired you. Get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
That's right. No one opened Larry's letters.
No separates. Get Larry the fuck out of here. This is LucasArts.
Yeah. Either anti-fun or have never flown anything in their lives.
All right. I agree with you when you said that the graphics are shitty on the Death Star Trench Run.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, I thought the game looked okay.
Yeah. That level, you're right.
I thought they did a pretty good job of making Tatooine interesting.
Yeah, and the cantina, the backgrounds in the cantina were good. The cantina band music was there. They were kind of conspicuously missing from the background. But I guess
you didn't see them?
They were back there, but it wasn't alive.
Mm-hmm. The actual sprites in the game, though, that they animated well. I thought they had a lot of character.
Yeah, Luke had idle animation. He would sort of look side to side and look where he was firing. So they did put a lot of detail work into that. It would have been better if they'd put some detail work into the game.
Yeah.
But the sprites were pretty.
Well, and some of the bosses, I felt like they not only didn't fit canonically, but I feel like they also didn't fit visually, because I thought of a lot of them were really, especially there's, I can't remember which boss it is, but he essentially looks like a Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in the movie, by the way, Tyler. The Transformer.
Transformer?
No.
What does this series have to offer? I don't understand.
Sorry.
No Transformer. Mm. No. That was the Imperial loader droid, I think it was, on the Death Star hangar bay.
Yes.
I think that's where the Transformer boss was.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. You're right.
Yeah, it took me a second.
But a lot of the bosses, I felt like, just stylistically even, didn't fit the rest of the game.
Well, and y'all have talked about bosses that are just blown up in pixely, and these were the same way. They just took something and made it huge.
No Super FX chip for Super Star Wars.
No polygon count, just lots of big pixels. Lots of big pixels.
Because most of the time, like, I just got behind a boss and fired away.
Yeah.
Like, for that, and then, like, the stormtrooper that's in the big motorcycle with laser beams that's floating, it can't squash you, so if you just stand below it and...
Right below it, yeah.
Fire up.
Another boss not in the movies.
What?
I know.
Yeah.
Mm. Is there no mutant womp rat either? No gigantic mutant womp rat?
No, sorry.
In fact, you never see a womp rat.
No.
Luke mentions them, but...
He used to bullseye them back at home.
In his T-30.
You fight tons of womp rats.
Yeah, but the first time I've ever seen a womp rat was in Super Star Wars.
Mm.
Yeah. I didn't know they were green until Super Star Wars.
They looked
But
modern.
You didn't know how awesome the Jabba were either with their technology and razor scooters.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So there you go.
I learned a lot today, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moderately rodent. Like.
I didn't at all.
You had to come away with knowledge, at least.
Oh, I came away with some fucking knowledge about this game. Yeah, I did. No one played this game. No one play it. I can't advise anyone to, like, unless you're just looking for a bad time.
I actually agree. A lot of times that I don't like to tell people not to play a game, but this game is so frustrating, and there are so many better Star Wars games that came out within a window of 5 years of this game that I would recommend before it. Even Shadows of the Empire came out on the N64, I think 4 years or 5 years later. And that's a great game. The X-Wing and TIE Fighter games came out for PC. And those are
so good.
Amazing Star Wars games.
I played the heck out of those games. Yeah.
Dark Forces was also a PC game, PC Star Wars game, Kyle Katarn. If you haven't played any of those, don't even think about playing Super Star Wars. Like, you got to be getting to the bottom of the barrel in Star Wars games, I think, for you to be like, Super Star Wars.
The 80s of the top 100 are so far just baffling me.
I don't know, Super Tennis, dog.
So, okay, with the few exceptions, like, I just don't, see how these games are in the 80s and there are games that are in the 90s. Bomberman gave me big hopes for the 80s.
Yeah.
And then I've just been, I don't understand.
For the 80s bracket of IGN's yeah. list. Yeah, it is kind of fucked up.
This should be in the low 90s.
I don't think this game should be on the list.
Yeah.
I know the only game we've said that before is
Sparkster
should be omitted from the list for a glitch. And I think that's a good reason. I don't think Super Star Wars actually brings anything to the table that Super Empire Strikes Back doesn't already.
And it's lower and better. So yeah, you're right. I really don't.
And it makes me really, really worried because Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi is on this list as well. So we're going to have to do
it's
this.
It's a lot higher.
We're going to have to do this again.
Yeah.
Well,
yay!
Was the gameplay similar for Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, run and gun. It's just they added a password save, which was nice. And they added...
lightsaber was better.
Right. The lightsaber is a lot better. You could block projectiles with it, repel them.
See, that's better.
And you had force powers.
No, that I was going to say the same thing. Absolutely no force power whatsoever, except for the ability to wield a lightsaber.
Right.
That's the only force power in this game.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, for the game, but it's also one of those things where it's just not fun.
Right.
You have to be able to use the force to wield a lightsaber.
Yes. Surprise.
How does that droid in episode 3 wield 6 of them?
It's not real.
Yeah, not real.
Yeah, it doesn't count. I don't know.
Doesn't like Han Solo have one at one point and cut into something?
A Tauntaun. He's force sensitive though.
Yeah.
So is Leia.
What does force sensitive mean? You can use lightsabers without using anything else.
No. It means that they are able to manipulate the force a little better than a normo. But not as well as...
And a muggle, okay.
Oh, right. I guess.
Yeah.
A moogle.
A moogle.
With Koopo nuts.
I feel like a moogle could do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't see how someone who likes the movies can like these games and vice versa. Personally, I don't see how anybody could like this game. But if you like the game, like, I'm more of a purist. The games are where it's at. These Super Nintendo games, they're where the action is.
Well, the cutscenes and the music still make it feel like Star Wars. And I wonder if the difficulty of the game was just sort of stretching, because we got the first third of the movie, well, the first sixth of the movie and the last sixth of the movie.
Right.
And I don't know if the difficulty of the game was just to stretch it so you felt like you got your money's worth. Because maybe, yeah, it takes 8 hours to beat the game, but it's 8 hours in 8 levels. And because you just die all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was artificially trying to stretch it because they didn't want to do the programming to get the whole plot in, or...
I felt like it was. I don't know if that's the case, but I really did feel like this is one of those situations where we've run into games like this before from the 90s, where it just feels like instead of actually making this game difficult and still be enjoyable, we're just going to make it difficult to make it last longer. I enjoy difficult games. But I enjoy difficult games that are designed well, where I feel like it's designed to be difficult.
It's not artificially
difficult. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult because they fired Larry and he wasn't there to say, wait, we don't want enemies to infinitely spawn.
We don't want to surprise them with a lava pit.
Right.
That's going to upset players.
Thank you, Larry.
Sorry, Larry. Hope your family didn't starve.
Right.
But yeah, fuck this awful piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, Mario RPG, Fantasy 6.
That's like how we center ourselves. All right. That's our mantra.
Gotta get Zen again. All right.
Tyler's chant.
Is there anything else you want to add about the game before we wrap up the Super Star Wars part of the show?
Oh, thermal detonators.
Yeah.
Every single time Tyler was playing through, it was one of those. That was another one of those things that you didn't know thermal detonator would come up on the screen anytime the enemy dropped them, but you never knew how to set them off, or that if you could. Watching a playthrough video, there was this gigantic full screen explosion, and I thought, how in the world does that happen? I never found that weapon, but it was the thermal detonators. So watching Tyler play, every time he picked one up, I'd be like, thermal detonator, thermal detonator.
You got 3 seconds to use it. Before you lose
up
it
on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time the screen's already vacant of enemies.
Exactly.
Like
because they drop one when they die. So why the hell do you need one when there's no enemies?
Yeah.
It's like they're just fucking with you.
Yep. So yeah, I have thermal detonator with an underline on this.
See, sheet. I thought Wiley was saying a racial slur for a long time whenever he said that. It's like, what did you say? Thermal detonator. Oh, that's completely different. Okay. Yeah. I'll let you, the listener, try to figure out what race of shark are you talking about.
I know I mentioned the banthas exploding earlier. That makes no sense. The banthas are, Tyler, they're the buffalo-looking creatures.
Mm-hmm. They run at you.
Yeah. When you hit one enough with your lightsaber, it
blows
up. It's an organic creature that erupts into a ball of flame and fire.
Right.
Well, maybe the Empire, they stuff them full of dynamite and send them at you.
Yeah, they're suicide banthas.
Well, I didn't think about
that. Stuff them full of it and then just like poke them in the butt and they just run at you. Yeah, thermal detonators. Yeah. There you go.
Right. So the Sand People are almost pacifists. The Jawas are wielding bazookas and the banthas are made of explosives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sums up the game.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to fun stuff, and by that I mean I want to play some voicemail that some listeners left us.
Yay!
I want to go ahead and do beards and glasses. That way we can just be done with the dreadful
and achievements.
Yes, I guess I need to think of some. So
I've got four. Give you time to think about it.
Maybe.
Wow.
You want to do achievements first?
Yeah, let's do achievement first.
Okay.
All right. So I've got four. Two are kind of gimmies. Because one is Chew Solo, so you beat it with just Chewie every opportunity you can. And then Solo.
Okay.
So you're Han Solo the whole time.
Man, that's good. Okay.
That is a good one.
Hmm.
And then Master Blaster, to where you don't get any upgrades and beat it.
Ooh.
Which I think is probably impossible.
Yeah, it's probably impossible.
Because I remember trying level bosses with Luke's lowest level and not doing any damage.
Right.
So making it completely.
Just laugh at you.
Yeah. Another game is like, hey, fuck you.
Right.
So. And then the last one being Watt Force, which is you go through the infinite loop three times before you fire the phase torpedoes.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
That's good. Wiley, I hope you have at least one because I haven't come up with any yet.
Yeah. We were talking about facing every single kind of alien in the cantina. And but also, Ponda Baba moves like a frog. Did you see this?
Yeah, I noticed
this.
That.
This was a surprise to me, too. He never gets off the bar stool, but apparently when he does, he hops like a frog.
Leaps over you, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't get that. But anyhow, one for there, Han shoots first. So you have to kill all of the Rodians in
nice.
The cantina without getting hit with Han.
Okay.
So that's one. The other one, I guess it would require one of the droids to be a playable character because the only other achievement I could think of was we do serve your kind here, which is being able to play through with a droid.
That's where you unlock C-3PO as a playable character.
Yeah, it would be great. And then, you get we do serve your kind here and you can play with C-3PO.
Right.
So maybe running through all of them with each of the characters, Han, Chewie, and Luke would give you C-3PO as an unlockable character.
I like it.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. I still wouldn't play the game, but...
No. Because, it's awful.
It's a fucking piece of shit awful. I just want to add some colorful language in there to really drive the point home.
Do not play this game.
Man, I don't have anything, guys. So I'm just going to start talking.
Okay.
Stuff's going to come out.
All right.
All right. I'm thinking something where you have to murder Ben Kenobi.
Oh.
Because he is the only thing in the game not trying to kill you. So we'll call it... Phantom Menace.
Nice.
I don't think I have another one in me. I feel like I need to take a nap now. that was a bad one too.
Flashing brilliant.
Dave was sweating like he was masturbating with a fever. Like he was just trying to pull that together.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I feel so privileged being here for this moment.
I've got a very important question for you.
Yes.
So super important. It's super Star Wars important. It's has to do with the face and the things that you collect on it.
Snacks.
The follicles.
Follicles.
Mm.
Like,
One might say a beard.
Beard.
Which we all know there are no beards at Romantics.
Nope.
If you were given a thermal detonator that was turned on, if a bounty hunter handed you a thermal detonator and turned it on, and you had to choose a beard to give this game before it blew up. Quickly, what would you give it?
Quickly. I would give it a face, an attractive, slender human face
okay.
that is slathered in honey
Male or female face?
We'll make it sadder and say female.
Okay. Okay.
Like a female, an attractive female face.
Okay.
Slathered in the bottom half. Slathered in honey.
I still like it. Okay.
And then just covered in fire ants.
Oh yeah, that's not good.
and they're just like biting you and tearing at your flesh and just it's agony. Yeah. It's awful. It's pain. You're like, yeah. Why the fuck am I doing this? This is awful. This is just horrible. This is unrelenting torture. Mm. And then you wash them all off in water, and it's better. Because the pain is gone,
mm-hmm.
but the horrible sensation still remains, even though you feel better that the agony's over. That's the beard. A beard of honey-covered fire ants
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for Super Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. How long do you keep the ants on?
Long enough for you to really hate it.
Okay.
Long enough to where you're like, why are these ants still on my face? Why am I not bringing my hands up and wiping off these ants?
Your mileage may vary is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You don't have any glasses to get this game, I'm sure, right?
No, I do.
Because the beard was really in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
I figured maybe you'd taken all your time and sunk it in the beard.
Mm-mm.
You have glasses?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what would it be?
I believe it's a Clockwork Orange, where they have sort of those glasses that go under your eyelids and pull your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those glasses mm-hmm. with someone holding a needle just outside your eye. Mm-hmm. They're not touching you with it, but it's driving you crazy and you kind of know what's coming. And mm-hmm. it's just this horrible, awful, can't blink. You're just the needle's right there. You know how awful this is. Just mm-hmm. this moment, this eternal, torturesome moment.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes
and then they pull the needle away. Those are the glasses of Super Star Wars.
You didn't like this game, did you?
No, I don't know. No. I could well say, as colorfully as I can,
mm-hmm.
I fucking horrendously hated this awful, shitty piece of shit motherfucker game.
Okay.
Shove this brought up George Lucas's asshole fire ants Clockwork Orange. God, fucking
asshole fire ant is something I hope I'd never, ever encounter in my lifetime.
Good, we'll never turn this game on again, and we won't have to subject ourselves to it.
But anyway, enough.
Yep.
Enough torture.
End it. It's done.
We actually had some people who were kind enough to give us a call and leave us some voicemail.
Yay.
Would you like to hear from them?
I would.
Okay.
Yay.
Toad Wiley.
Yes.
Hello, Tadpog. This is listener Chris. And when I was a kid, I would collaborate with my sister and my friend Gary from across the street in writing Police Academy fan fiction. The plot fit in somewhere between Police Academy 2 and Police Academy 3, and we wrote it in the form of a script so that we were able to perform it as a play for our parents later on, who I'm sure were very proud. I'm going to go cry into my shame pillow for a while now. Thank you.
I think we got a new guest host.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty good, interesting fact about themselves.
That is good. Thank you. Thank you for that very much.
Yeah, it's like we say at Dragon Con, Chris, just go ahead and let your nerd flag fly. Well done there, friend.
Now, what I'm mostly concerned about is, does your sister know you called in?
Right.
Does
right.
Gary know you called in?
We've got another one.
Hey, Tyler. Hey, Dave. It's Paul Kluhl. You guys asked me to call, so I did. There you go. Thanks for the shout out. Later.
Thanks for calling. That's what we asked you to call. You called. That's dedication.
I like that.
And we love it.
That's right. Well done, Paul. Check. Go ahead and take that off the list of things to do for the week.
Right.
Pick up milk. Pick up bread. Make love to wife. Call Tadpog.
You can do this every week. Just add it to your list.
That's
fine.
Right. That's right. Hey, guys. It's Thursday. It's Paul. Bye.
So thanks, Paul. And thank you, Chris.
Very much. Very much.
If anyone out there is listening wants to be as cool as these two, it's really easy to do because we want to hear from you. Drunk or
not. I don't
not.
Know. It'd be hard to top some Police Academy fan fiction, but you can try.
I issue a challenge. If you would like to write a little Police Academy fan fiction and perform it in a voicemail, I will play it on the show. And you can do it. You can make, if you have to make several calls, you make as many calls and leave as many voicemails as you need to complete your script. We'll play it. We'll serialize it.
Yeah. This week we have Police Academy Part 2. Part 2.
That phone number that you want to give us a call at is 270-883-2555. Once again, it is very important if you are driving that you write it down right now, immediately. Don't pull to the side of the road. Don't be a pussy and say it to Siri or anything like that. Pen, paper, right now. That envelope from the bank, write it on that.
Pick up a hitchhiker, tell them the number, take them somewhere so they remember it. Yeah.
Tyler, do we have any people to thank this week?
We have plenty of people to thank. For Facebook shares, we want to thank Mega Elixir, Lord Mike of Purdue, Elijah Phillips, Ramon Frigico Castillo III, Kevin Link, Mario Italiano, Matt Barger, Jess at Silk Street Post, Nicole Nance, and Josh Nance. For retweets, we want to thank Laura Ammons.
The ever
lovely. I'm pointing to her right now. She's happy.
Always lovely, Laura Ammons.
For comments, both from Facebook messages and Facebook comments.
Text.
The great super listener, Dennis Robinson, Eli Phillips, John Turley, Joshua Edwards, Todd Dunnigan, Nicole Nance, and Sean McElwain. For, of course, again, double thanks calls from Paul and Chris. Fantastic art. The muzzy art. I think John Sullivan heard the eerily silent, and he responded very well.
I am life. If you haven't seen this art yet, you need to go to facebook.com/tadpog because it is amazing. And I also want to thank Micah for posting the, as I like to call it, Friends with Symbiotes.
Yeah.
For real? He pulled that off?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Awesome.
And of course, we want to thank Wiley Ammons for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, no. I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan of Jesus. Mostly, I hope that your target audience is not who I work with normally.
Geriatrics. We're big in nursing homes.
Well, geriatrics and like the tween and teen set. I'm in youth ministry, so
kids. We're getting the 12 through 80 demographic.
Are we a little too saucy?
Yeah, so kids, if you're listening to Tad Bond, turn it off.
Well, they had a warning right from the beginning from Tyler. This was NNSSFFWW.
That's right, yep. Totally. I do, however, work at a camp called Camp Weed, so I guess that makes me a little edgy.
I'll say. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
One of the most interesting things about it is the name. We sell a lot of t-shirts, let me tell you.
Yeah, I bet you can make a killing on eBay or...
Yeah, it's named for a bishop, Edwin Weed, but no one knows that. It's just one of the favorite things about our diocese. People want to come to Florida and go to Camp Weed. The brownies there are excellent.
Is that next to Camp Bath Salts?
Yeah, next to Camp Bath Salts and just down the street from Camp Heroin. No, but thanks. It's been a pleasure to play a really awful video game and hang out with friends while doing it. It made it doable.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you miss the next episode. We will be talking about IGN's 82nd.
Yeah, we're that
82nd?
Far.
82nd? Damn. 82nd.
We recorded that many in the course of a week.
Boom, boom,
so,
boom.
So Killer Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that one.
Redeeming.
So while you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review, and that's it for me.
We'll be back next week. Don't you worry about it. In the meantime, I know we've mentioned this several times, we have a Facebook page, and there's actually human beings on this, on this Facebook page who are interacting and being very cool. So if you want to hang out, come join us. It's facebook.com/tadpog. We also have a website where we put show notes. You can also listen to episodes there if you want. That's tadpog.com. Our intro song, Tyler, is...
I was interested in this.
You may not have heard of him. It's a guy named Sycamore Drive.
Oh, he's got that song.
You're thinking of Bad Moon Rising?
Yeah, or Pocket the Mole.
Moves.
Bark at the Moon. Moves. Moves.
Moves.
Thank you.
You can find that on our website. Do you know that?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Tadpog.com.
Bam.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my iPhone.
Fucking fire ants. George Lucas is fucking asshole. Taking your beard.